clothes we're wearing, the buildings that were that are constructed, even the way we walk around on the streets in the room has been designed.
That was Antoinette Carroll. She's the founder of a nonprofit organization called Creative Reaction Lab. And it encourages designers, including ordinary problem solvers like you and me, to use design to address social issues. This is Cut and Paste, and I'm Nancy Fowler.
And I'm Willis Ryder Arnold. And throughout the next couple of minutes, Antoinette Carroll will give you some examples of different projects she's worked on, like a chalk drawing board and a creative card game. But first, she'll let you know a little bit more about what Creative Reaction Lab really is.
So Creative Reaction Lab was started in August of 2014, and it was an initial response to what was happening in Ferguson. As a practicing graphic designer, but then also head of communications at a diversity and inclusion nonprofit, I very much was dedicated to this issue. And then I also was living in Ferguson at the time as well. So for me, it was that natural response of bringing the designers and the social sector together and having them come up with solutions on what we can do around racial inequality and police brutality. That being said, it was so successful, more successful than I could have even imagined, that it has now become its own nonprofit in which we're working with the social sector to ingrain design thinking, and help them really become more community-focused as well as more fear-averse in coming up with solutions around the issues that they're working on every day.
So when you're talking about design, what exactly do you mean by that?
So I get this question a lot because most people have no idea what design means. And I find this interesting because everything around us has been designed. So when I say design, the formal definition is when people say a visual plan of an idea. But design is more than that. It's around problem solving. It's around really coming up with a solution to what we call design problems. But it's just any problem that we have today.
So I'm curious, how does it work that you bring designers into Creative Reaction Lab, and then what do they do, and then where does it go from there?
When I first created Creative Reaction Lab, I was a little naive. And I will say I was a little naive because I was so focused on getting designers to the table, because I look at designers as the experts on problem solving. At that time, I was saying, designers, you are coming up with constructs, you're coming up with the buildings, you're coming up with everything we need in life. Why don't you bring that skill set into the sector that actually are solving global issues? There's the stereotype that to be a designer working within the social space, you only can do pro bono and free work. You only provide a logo or a website for someone. And I challenge that, saying, you don't just have to create a logo, you can create a movement.
So can you give us an example of a specific project you've worked on so you can kind of understand exactly how those things play out?
In response to Ferguson, I brought designers together for 24 hours straight. So some of them did not sleep. And they went through this process in which we call design thinking, in which first they built empathy for the audience in which they were trying to serve. So I had people that were on frontline protesters. I had people that were part of community and really looking at this issue from a holistic standpoint, because they're the true experts on what they're living. No one can guess what's going on. They are the ones that say, this is what I'm living, this is the perspective. And having that at the table is very impactful. Some recent Maryville University graduates came to the lab, and they were looking at this idea of stereotyping and self-identity. And their response to that initially was this public art chalkboard, having people look at how people define me and then how I define myself. That was so successful that now they're looking at apparel lines and outreach opportunities. And that was just one of the five projects that was created in that one night. One project that I really want to talk about was created by Deandra Nichols. Her project was called Connected for Justice. This project was so impactful because it wasn't about this savior complex that we tend to have, where we go in and say, I know the solution. But she created this hub in which designers, individuals living in the community, activists, could come to this site and say, these are the solutions I have around these certain issues within my community. Would you help me? One of these projects in particular was called the Mirror Casket Project, in which now has been acquired by the Smithsonian Museum.
It sounds like there's almost, although these are very serious topics, some kind of a whimsy about some of the projects. I understand there's a card game, Cards Against Brutality, mm-hmm. which of course plays off of...
Cards Against Humanity, yes. And Cards Against Brutality, I love this project because it was merging traditional design with non-traditional design. So with Cards Against Brutality, they took this topic or this brand that we know as... not the most positive light, essentially, and turned it on its head. And what they really were looking at with Cards Against Brutality was this idea of media narration and how you look at the victims of unarmed violence and refer to them as thugs or, you know, don't actually look at them as human beings. So many of the cards, you see the silhouette of the person that used to be there, and opposed to seeing thug or seeing violence, you see... that this person was a student, that they were a mother, that they were a child, and really starting to learn the stories around these individuals, not crafted by the media, but crafted by their family and the people that knew them best. And in creating this card deck, they also decided to do a curriculum component where youth organizations and schools can take this back into the classroom and have them really reflect on how does media narration play a role within any form of violence or any form of news in general, and how do we become responsible citizens and approaching what we're being told and instead understanding who people are.
What kind of labs do you have coming up? What happens next?
Right now, we're really honing in on what we are as an organization, what value we're bringing to the community, and not just St. Louis, but nationally. I've been traveling all over the nation doing talks, doing workshops around design thinking in this social space. And the next thing for us, we're initially kicking off our program year in January, in which we're going to hold 4 more versions of the labs, but around different topic areas. And 3 topic areas have been confirmed, which is mental health, domestic violence, as well as mass incarceration, and we're still determining the 4th. But then on top of that, I'm working with Civic Creatives, once again with DeAndre Nichols, in which we're bringing Civic Design Camp here to St. Louis, where we're going to have government officials and designers work together looking at how design could play a role within that infrastructure.
That was Creative Reaction Lab founder Antoinette Carroll discussing some of the things that are up next for her project. Cut and Paste is produced by Nancy Fowler
and Willis Ryder Arnold, with the help of our editor, Donna Carando.
The music you've heard throughout this piece was produced by local musician Eric Hall.
You can find Cut and Paste at stlpublicradio.org or through multiple podcast services.